Be prepared, right from the very start and throughout, for frank and confronting descriptions of sexual abuse that some viewers may find upsetting.
He said that I was his property and he can do whatever he wants with me. And he said, once I've had my fill with you, I'm going to sell you on.
I was kept in that house for 13 years as a sex slave. I was raped over, I think it was 3,000 times.
That was like the scariest moment, just knowing that I'd been a victim of sex trafficking.
I can't believe I was tricked. I was snatched and I was deceived to become a sex slave in England.
There are an estimated 2,000 victims of sex trafficking currently held captive in the UK. The problem can be found in every large town and city in the country. In this film, four survivors will tell us their stories. Two speak out freely, but two of the women wish to remain anonymous as their captors are still walking free. In Italy, 19-year-old British model Chloe Ayling was lured to a fake photo shoot where she was attacked by two masked men.
The worst part is feeling so powerless, like there's nothing you can do. Like you don't stand a chance against two or more men.
They drugged her, and when she came round, she was alone and afraid.
I'd been stripped of all of my clothes. I was just in my bodysuit. I had no jeans, no shoes, no jacket, in this freezing farmhouse, and I still didn't know why I'd been taken.
Growing up in South London, teenage mum Chloe could never have imagined her modelling dreams would end up like this.
When I was 19, I started to model and did like page three work and magazines. I used to go to different countries every month to work abroad and loved it because I love to travel.
Chloe's agent booked her for her first ever shoot in Milan.
I was excited because I'd never been to Milan before. It was a new city. I always liked to go to places that I'd never been before.
As a professional model, it wasn't unusual for Chloe to travel alone.
That morning, I got a taxi from the hotel direct to the studio. When I got there, I couldn't find the exact door. Walked down the road a bit to try and find the right door. I did that, wheeled my suitcase in, and still I heard nothing. And at that moment, it was when I was attacked from behind, and I felt a hand around my neck and then another one with a glove on my mouth to stop me from screaming. At that point, I just couldn't breathe because he was covering my nose as well at the same time. So I was just trying to like get his hand off of my mouth and nose. And then another guy rushed around to the front. He was wearing a balaclava, so I couldn't see his face.
One of the men produced a syringe and began trying to inject Chloe.
I didn't have time to cry. I couldn't make a noise because the hand was on my mouth. So it was just so quick. As soon as that needle went into me, I was just unconscious.
Her kidnappers had drugged Chloe with the horse tranquilizer ketamine.
The next thing I remember was waking up. I had handcuffs on my wrists, handcuffs on my ankles, tape all around my mouth, and I was in this black kind of rubber duffel bag.
Alone, in a bag, in the darkness, Chloe tried to make sense of her surroundings.
When I first woke up from being drugged, it was a hard and indescribable feeling. Like, I didn't know where I was. Was I on a plane, a boat, sort of car? I had no idea. It didn't even feel like you were in the real world. Where I started to hear the car engine, that's how I realised I was in the trunk of a car. I was just crying and I thought, I'm never going to see my family again. You obviously have to assume the worst.
Sunny Angel was just 17 when she was forced into a relationship by an abusive stalker and taken to a remote house.
He says, once I've finished with you, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell you on. It was frightening, really, really frightening. You know, one minute he's saying he loves me, you know, next minute he's beating me up, and now he's saying, this is what I'm gonna do with you when I'm finished. And it was just so terrifying.
Sunny had had a sheltered upbringing. Her horrifying ordeal began when she was approached by a 40-year-old man in a local park.
It was a Saturday morning and I was just doing my own thing. I didn't realise that someone was following me until he actually stopped me and said, I've been following you for a year. Literally, my heart was like this, like so fast. And I was like, what do you want? You know, why are you doing this? He said, you're going to have to watch and see what I'm going to do. I was so frightened because I was still a teenager. Why would anyone do something like this?
But this terrifying encounter was to be just the beginning.
He got hold of my phone number and then I get a phone call and he says, look outside your house. And there he is outside with the lighter, flicking it on and off. See, I know where you live. And if you don't do as I say, I'm going to, you know, burn it down. And I said, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do because I wanted to protect my family. He said he was going to be there on Monday morning to walk me to work.
When Monday morning arrived, Sunny left her home unsure of what to expect.
As I leave, he's already there at the end of the road waiting for me. I try and walk past him, but he just grabs me. He grabs me from the back of the head and back of the neck. As we're walking, he's literally got me by the hair. He's pulling me back. Some of it, he's actually pushing me into the road. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to react.
It became a regular daily ordeal. But afraid she wouldn't be believed, Sunny didn't tell anyone.
No one at work questioned what was going on. I just covered it. I just became very quiet at work. I was really frightened. I just kept losing who I was. He said that I was his property and he can do whatever he wants with me.
Anna, whose name has been changed to protect her identity, was just 15 when an older male friend she thought she could trust trapped her in his home.
And I says to him, why are you locking me in? And he says, you're a white bitch and you're mine now. And you're not going back. I was kept in that house for 13 years as a sex slave. I was raped over, I think it was 3,000 times.
Life used to be very different for Anna. She grew up in a small village in the north of England, brought up by her great-grandmother.
She was just such a lovely person. I had a great life, the best life I could ever have. I was happy. She showed me all the love. It was an old cottage, and we had a well. Used to drink camp coffee. The only thing I didn't like when she used to give me syrup of figs because she just wanted to keep me healthy.
But when Anna was just 10 years old, her great-grandmother died and she was taken to live with her father.
My mother didn't want me, as for my dad. He was a violent person. He physically abused me, used to belt me. You always know when you're in trouble because you could hear the footsteps him coming up the stairs, and I think, you know, I'm in for it then.
As she grew older, and to avoid being at home with her dad, she began hanging out at a taxi rank where her friend worked. Here, age 15, she was befriended by one of the taxi drivers.
He was being friendly and, you know, you look nice and all this lot. And for him to put his arm around me, you know, I thought, you know, he's showing me some love and affection. That's how it started. He says, do you want to go meet my mum? She'd love to meet you. So I got into his taxi, got there. I just kept looking at the clock. I just sat there and I kept looking. I thought, you know, you'll take me back in a minute. You know, it's getting dark. And he says, come with me. Went upstairs. So obviously I thought, well, I'm not going home tonight. He started hugging me and kissing me. And then he says, are you going to take your clothes off? And I said, well, no, I don't want to. What for? And when I looked at him, he was clenching his fists. He says, I'm a dirty English whore. And then he had obviously raped me violently. And for some reason, he just loved the sight of blood.
Anna's nightmare was only just beginning.
He had to see blood before he'd finish. I never thought that day I was going for a cup of tea and I'd never see daylight for 13 years.
...19-year-old British model Chloe was booked for a modelling shoot in Italy, but it turned out to be an elaborate plot set up by would-be sex traffickers.
I kind of assumed that I would die because what is the reason that they're going to take me? Either to rape or rob, or, like, I didn't know the reason, so you obviously have to assume the worst.
Single mum Chloe was drugged, restrained and put in a large duffel bag before being driven out into the Italian countryside.
At the end of the car journey, when the boot finally did open, I thought, this is where something bad's going to happen. And then they both carried me up a big hill and into a farmhouse. And they put me down on a cold kitchen floor and unzipped the bag and told me to stand up.
Chloe's kidnappers took her upstairs where they left her bound and gagged.
Eventually, there was a slam on the door, and when the guy walked through the door, he sat on the bed, and this was the boss, and he told me, I don't know if you remember me, but I briefly met you in Paris.
Chloe recognised the man as a photographer from a shoot a few months earlier.
This was the first time that I'd connected it to be a setup, because previous to this, I thought, wrong people have got me on the way to the shoot, or, you know, it's just a mistake, but this is the first time I associated to be a setup.
Chloe's kidnapper claimed to be the leader of a worldwide terrorist group.
And he said it was a big organisation called the Black Death Group, and they're involved on the dark web, doing things like drug trafficking, sex trafficking, everything illegal, basically.
Terrified, Chloe believed the man's claims. He then took photographs of her, explaining they would be used by the Black Death Group in an online sex slave auction.
That was, like, the scariest moment, just knowing that I'd been a victim of sex trafficking. So they said that I would be part of a sex trafficking auction that was to take place on the Sunday, and they normally take girls from about age 13 to 20, so I was one of the oldest that they would take, and they wanted to take the highest bidder, and it would be about £300,000. But he said that some girls, for example, the most purest, even virgins, can go for up to £1 million.
But then Chloe's kidnapper found out she was a mum.
That meant that they weren't supposed to take me because girls in the sex trade that have had kids are not valuable, and the price would be a lot lower. They don't want anyone that's used.
Chloe hoped they might now release her, but the hope was short-lived.
He said it's not that easy because there would have to be a ransom to compensate for what they would lose through selling me. So I had to come up with $150,000, otherwise the auction to sex traffic me would go ahead on the Sunday in 5 days' time.
Sunny was only 17 years old, and her stalker was using increasingly coercive techniques to control his vulnerable teenage victim.
He'll make all sorts of threats, things like, I'm going to throw acid on your mum's face, I'm going to hurt your dad, I'm going to stab him. You know, when he was threatening my family, I said, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do, please just don't hurt my family. But he's like, look, your family don't care about you. It was grooming through fear.
Red Godfrey Sagu works for a charity supporting survivors of trafficking and sexual abuse.
Most of the times within sexual exploitation, there is a threat of violence, not just to the individual, but there's a threat of violence to the individual's family.
I'd say to him, what is it that you want from me? You know, why are you doing this? And he'll just look at me and laugh.
Sonny went to the police, but at that point in 1997, stalking still wasn't a crime, so no one would take her seriously.
I would go to the police and I'd have it all documented that this is what this person is doing to me, but nobody would help me. And they'd say, no crime. And it's like, how could it not be a crime that one person could hurt someone so badly?
Isolated and with nowhere to turn, Sonny fell deeper under her stalker's control, until finally he demanded she move in with him or he would hurt her family.
I'm like, but I can't just leave home. What about the shame, the honour? Being an Asian girl, you can't just leave home. But he made me leave home and he said, right, I'll take you somewhere for a better life.
He drove her out into the remote countryside.
It was a semi-detached house, three-bedroom house. It looked really, really rough on the outside. We went upstairs and then he boarded up the windows. And so there was no light coming in. He took a lot of furniture out of the room and there was just a bed in there, a TV, and he just locked me up. And it was so cold. It was such a frightening time, really, really frightening.
Anna had been imprisoned by an older man she had trusted. After being repeatedly raped, her tormentor then decided he would sell her body to others.
And then in comes these dirty old men. And I seen him pass money over. And they just did what they wanted. And he just carried on and carried on. He got to the point where I didn't bother no more. My body was numb. Didn't feel it in the end. I didn't feel no pain at all. And I just let them do what they've got to do.
You can buy a human being for about $90. You can make that person work for you, potentially servicing up to 30 to 40 men a day for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. Man after man after man after man after man, day in, day out. There is a huge profit in buying a person and literally working them to death.
Anna's abusive treatment continued for years.
I said to him once, why are you hurting me? He says, because you're a white trash. He says, you're a white bitch. He says, that's all you are to me. You're nothing.
But eventually, the abuse became too much for Anna to bear.
So I stood at the top of the stairs and I just let myself go. I just wanted to die. I really just wanted to die.
Anna was hospitalised by the fall, but once she recovered, her captor was there waiting to take her back to his house.
And then I fell pregnant. I felt happy because then it's not just me on my own. I'd got someone else in the room with me, my baby. Everything changed. He started giving me, like, fruit, milk, and different things.
Anna gave birth to a healthy baby boy.
I was never, ever on my own at all, not once. And them not in allowing me to hold my own baby, I didn't see the baby at all. I was locked back up in the room.
Anna's captor now embarked on a horrifying new scheme to make money from her.
The baby lived in the house up to, I think it was 8 weeks. And he obviously took me downstairs, unlocked the door, took me downstairs, took me into the living room. And these people were there to by my baby as such.
In the UK, victims of sex trafficking come from 116 different countries. Nigerian-born Melody, whose name has been changed to protect her identity, was tricked by a man she thought loved her into coming to the UK. But once here, he put her to work in a brothel.
I was constantly living in fear because at the end of the day, when the bell rang, you don't know who is at the bell, if it is the police, if it is a customer with a knife. It's usually busy that a lot of customers come, especially during the weekend, like from Thursday, that really get busy.
Life had been very different for Melody back home, where she'd lived with her auntie and older sister.
I'm from Nigeria. I was born and brought up in Nigeria, and life was good. Though we were poor, but I was very much okay.
In 2011, Melody was approached by a British man who was staying in Lagos.
Good-looking, responsible, the way he talked, the way he behaved. He's a very nice man, well-educated and responsible. And in everything, he was lovely. He's caring, you know, and religious as well.
6 months later, he proposed, promising Melody a bright future.
He promised me good life in England, that as soon as we get to England, you can school, you can, you know, you have a good brain, you're very intelligent. As soon as you get in, they will give you papers. You can be working and you will be studying as well, which is quite easy. Yeah, I was excited because I was going with a mother who loved me and that would look after me. I was happy.
She boarded the plane to London, but straight away on arrival, there were worrying signs.
As soon as we came out of the airport, he took my passport. He began to change from the person. I knew him, you know.
Melody's fiancé would leave her for days on end in his flat with no food.
I was literally starving and there is no money with me. I was frightened. I was confused at the same time. And I was scared. What have I got myself into?
Weeks went by until Melody's fiancé explained she couldn't work or study without an expensive visa.
We need money to do the application. So he measured about £6,000. So where are we going to get £6,000?
He reassured her that he'd take care of it all.
Okay, I've got a friend. I will take you there. So when you get there, she will tell you what to do. And so that we'll be able to raise the money. At first, I didn't know that place was a brothel or a prostitute house. Then she asked me, do you know how to fit condom? I was shocked. I don't know what to say. She began to kind of explain how much per hour, how much per minute. I couldn't say anything. I feel dirty that because of you want money, because of desperation, because of hunger, no one to speak to, you have to end up selling yourself. And doing it, you don't have choice.
Model Chloe was kidnapped by men claiming to be from a criminal gang called the Black Death. They wanted to sell her as a sex slave to the highest online bidder. But when her captors discovered she was a mother, they agreed to accept a ransom of $150,000 for her release instead. With no idea who might pay such a large amount of ransom money, Chloe tried a new strategy with the ringleader.
I thought it was a better thing for me to sleep in the bed with him and grow closer to him and start talking to him more, and he was my only hope to get out. I then had to focus all my energy onto making sure that I could be as nice to him as possible and really make him abort this and stop this from happening, because he was my only hope. Like, everyone else in the group would be happy with me getting sold, but he was the only one that was kind of on my side. He was suggesting sexual things, but I always thought that if I was to give him what he wanted at this point, then what would be the point of him releasing me? I started to say that I'm not in the right frame of mind to do anything while I'm still in this situation. I can't think straight, but if you release me, then I promise something can happen after.
Believing her, the ringleader promised his so-called Black Death group would release her but only with strict and terrifying conditions.
My kidnapper said that there could be another solution to me being released, which would be me having to pay the ransom on my release and not telling the police anything and ending any investigation once I get back to the UK. Otherwise, I would be killed within 1 month by the Black Death Group if I was to disobey these conditions. I was desperate to take up the offer just in case my agent was not able to come up with the money, so I was saying, of course, I would pay it on my release. I don't know how yet, but I would definitely do it. And obviously, I wouldn't tell the police anything.
Early the next morning, he drove Chloe to the British consulate, where he planned to release her.
He told me to say that he was a friend of mine that I had phoned on my release. So we walked into the consulate together and spoke to the lady behind the counter.
But Chloe had been reported missing when she'd failed to return to the UK. So sensing something wasn't right, the government official asked to speak to her alone in a private room.
The consulate called the police straight away. He was obviously being held in the waiting room. And then about 15 officers came in, surrounded him, then came to me. When I first started talking to the police, I was holding back a bit. His words were ringing in my mind about don't tell the police anything. But as scared as I was of the Black Death Group and the conditions that I had to follow, I still had to tell the truth because I just wanted to get all of the people involved in this arrested.
When Sunny was 17 years old, she was stalked and forced into a relationship by an older man. He ordered her to move in with him, threatening to hurt her family if she refused.
I'd say to him, what is it that you want from me? You know, why are you doing this? He had a fixation about virgins, and he said, you're my ninth virgin. What he'd do is come and visit when he fancied it, when he fancied beating me up, when he fancied raping me. It was just horrific.
After several months in the house, his psychological hold over Sunny was total.
He'd make me do all sorts of disgusting things, really, watching porn, being really subservient to him. I call it the torture house because of the things that he did to me, like he'd put cigarettes out on my back, he'd cut me, he used glass, he would whip me with his leather belt. And when he would take me to the bathroom, he would literally fill up a bucket with icy cold water and he would put my face in it to try and drown me, and then he would waterboard me as well. I was kept in that room for 6 months and he raped me countless times. You know, hundreds and hundreds, just countless times.
Sunny kept hoping her captor would change.
And even though all the beatings and everything, there was those moments where I think, well, if I just looked prettier, or if I just gave in, maybe he'd love me. Maybe he'd change, you know, maybe he wouldn't be so nasty. Or maybe there'll be that one day where he doesn't rape me.
But the abuse continued. And then he told Sonny something terrifying.
And he said, once I've had my fill with you, I'm going to sell you on. I'm begging him not to, you know, asking him for mercy.
Anna was just 15 when a man she trusted locked her up in his house. Not content with selling her for sex, he also forced her to get pregnant.
I was a baby machine. I had 4 children. I had a health visitor called Sally, and I think deep down, she knew that there was something going on.
Anna says her babies were sold to strangers. After the birth of her 4th child, a baby girl, Anna had another visit from her health visitor.
There was a piece of paper on the table, and I put, help me. And I went, flicked it, and she, picked it up, took it with her.
The next day, the health visitor called for Anna.
What she did, she rang and she says, could I speak to Anna, please? Why do you want to speak to her?
Not wanting to arouse suspicion, her captor put Anna on the phone. Sally told her to meet her outside where a car would be waiting.
The keys were in the door and I thought, I was so scared, I didn't know what to do. I thought, shall I do it? But I thought, they're going to kill me. Either I do it now or I'm dead. So I unlocked the door and I ran for my life. Some guardian angel was with me that day. I just kept running and running.
Nigerian Melody came to the UK with her fiancé, but he made her work in a brothel to pay off debt for a visa. But when the documents failed to materialise, Melody confronted him.
The money we have raised so far, it should be enough. I don't want to live my life this way. I don't want to continue to live like this. It was like, oh, you think you are very smart, you are intelligent, I know how to keep people like you. I will lock you in this room, no one will come in. You won't eat, you won't go out, you won't do everything. When you die, I will go out. They won't see my fingerprint, they won't see anything that I killed you or I did it, but you will be here, you will die slowly. And he locked me inside for 3 days.
In the UK today, there are thousands of women like Melody who have been trafficked into the country to be sexually exploited.
The traffickers know how to push all the right buttons, and they are either physical violence or their actual mental abuse. And if you don't speak the language, you are in a country that you've never been to. How do you convert that into even just basic human rights?
Forced to prostitute herself again, one day, Melody was paid a visit by a health worker.
So she was an NHS worker. She's an NHS nurse. She normally comes there to give the girls condoms and tell them the implications of what they're doing. So I just sat one place, you know, and she said, "Are you okay?" And I burst into tears. And I was crying uncontrollably. Because I can't say, yes, I'm okay. I'm not okay because I don't supposed to be here. I'm not okay because I'm in big trouble. She promised to ring me the next day.
The nurse got Melody the help she desperately needed, and she escaped to a safe house.
I can't believe I was tricked, I was snatched, and I was deceived to become a sex slave in England. My happiness, my innocence, my entire life, you know, was robbed. I became a different being entirely. Guilty, criminal, unworthy. My life was changed totally.
Seventeen-year-old Sunny had been forced into a relationship by an older man who had stalked her. He'd taken her to live at a remote house where he repeatedly abused her.
I thought I was going to die in the torture room. I really did. You know, it got to the point where I was either going to... I kept trying to kill myself. I was begging him to kill me. Every rape, every time he tortured me, I just wanted it to end. You know, that was it.
Sunny was terrified when the man threatened to sell her as a sex slave. But then one day, she saw a chance to escape.
All the time that he would leave me, he would always lock the door. But for that day, he just left the keys behind and I just took the opportunity. It really just felt like my whole body had just come back to life, you know. I just didn't know where I was going, what I was doing. My heart was just flying, literally flying. I was scared, but I was just so happy.
Once back in her hometown, Sunny tried to get her life back on track. But her stalker eventually managed to track her down to where she was living.
I didn't actually see him there. It wasn't until I walked further up the road that his car pulled up. He grabbed me, hit my head on the dashboard, and got me in the car and raped me. And he just does this whisper, and he said, "I just wanted to fuck you for the last time." And I'm just like, my God, you know, what does he mean by last time? Is he going to kill me now? Is he going to get rid of me? You know, what's he going to do?
Unable to live with the trauma, Sunny took an overdose and slit her wrists.
It was the only way I thought possible to just end everything was to end me. When I woke up from the overdose, I was in a hospital, I was in a strange bed. All my wounds were all bandaged up. I was very, very cross that my suicide had failed.
The nurses told Sunny she had a phone call. Somehow, he had tracked her down again.
He says, "You can't even kill yourself, can you? I don't want you anymore. I've done with you. Had my fill with you, basically. Now look at the state of you." And to just hear his voice, it was like barbed wire going through the veins, you know, and I hated it, absolutely hated it.
In Milan, Chloe's kidnapper, who claimed to be from a group called the Black Death, was now under police arrest, but she still feared for her life.
The Black Death group to me was made up of hundreds or thousands of people that were way more powerful than the police.
Chloe was told by the authorities she'd have to testify in a pretrial hearing before she'd be allowed to return to the UK. That meant going to the crime scene.
As we were about to go to the house, I just broke down in tears and I just couldn't face going back there. I have so many negative memories with just thinking that, not knowing if I'm ever going to be like saved in that house. I just didn't want to go back. I didn't even feel safe. Even with the police, my lawyer, everything, I didn't even feel safe then.
Despite believing that the Black Death group was real, Chloe bravely took the stand.
I was really scared to see him in court, so I asked for a curtain to be put in between us. But then it turned out the curtain had a gap in it, so I could still see his face. And he just looked completely emotionless. So the whole time I was giving evidence in court, I was scared that I was testifying against one of Black Death's main members and that they were going to kill me for not following the conditions they set out.
3 weeks after her escape, Chloe was finally allowed to leave Milan.
I was able to fly home the next day back to London, and that was just the most amazing feeling ever, just knowing that I would be able to see my family again when I didn't think I would be.
Sunny's abuser was never brought to justice and disappeared after skipping bail on charges of credit card fraud. Over 20 years on from her ordeal, Sunny now works to raise awareness and has written a book about her experience.
I get thousands of messages every single day from other victims, survivors, people who are suicidal, people who have been raped, stalked. Just contacting me, saying thank you. And for that, it was worth it. For that, you know, I'm grateful for what I've been through.
Today, Sunny is getting a permanent reminder of how far she has come.
Sometimes we fall really deep down.
Yeah.
And then we have to rise again like a phoenix, basically, and then we might get the struggles, but then we go straight into enlightenment.
Right then, are you ready to rock and roll?
I'm so emotional, I've got happy tears. It's amazing. I haven't had happy tears in ages. It's amazing. It is like a work of art. It's beautiful.
Only 1% of victims of human trafficking are ever rescued. Looking back, Anna feels like she was abandoned by the authorities.
I was 15. I was a vulnerable young girl. I should still be under the I should have still been on their radar. But where was they? I mean, I was let down by social services and the police and the NHS. They have all failed me.
In the end, Anna was lucky to escape. She's rebuilt her life and even written a book about her experience. Today, she lives with her childhood sweetheart.
To have my first baby with them and be able to hold it to my chest, change a nappy, breastfeed it, that has made me the person I am today.
The police offered Anna protection from her abuser, but she was too scared to pursue a prosecution.
It's easy said than done, because I've got to think of not just my own life, I've got to think of everybody's life involved, because he is out there now and he is a vile person, and he wouldn't think twice of petrol bombing my house or hurting one of my children.
The rate of successful prosecutions for crimes involving sexual exploitation in the UK is desperately low.
The challenge for the women is that they are not comfortable going through the government system for multiple reasons. One being, they are scared of their abusers actually still finding them.
It took me a long time because I never think he can do something like that to me. Of course I want justice. So we eventually went to the police station again, lodged a complaint, but it's too late. The police were like, how come you waited so long? How come you took so long?
As an immigrant, Melody also feared being deported.
Success is not guaranteed. So it's a bet. Do you put yourself through reliving the hell over and over and over again in the vain hope somebody somewhere will actually really listen and say, yes, this is actually your story and you did live this? And then what happens next?
Despite the challenges, years later, Melody remains strong and is still fighting for justice.
My message to my abuser is he can run, but he cannot hide. I will go for him. I will just see him one day, be behind bar, paying for what he done to me. It might not be now, but I know in future it will definitely come.
Safely back in the UK after her sex trafficking ordeal, glamour model Chloe found herself vilified in the press as a liar, trying to enhance her career.
You know, it didn't even cross my mind that people would not believe me. Like, I was so happy to be home. I'd just gone through this terrible thing, spent 3 weeks helping the police. It just literally didn't cross my mind that people would not believe that it happened.
At the trial, the truth about the Black Death Group was finally revealed.
While all the hearings were still going on in Italy, a lot of new information was coming out, and it turned out that Black Death didn't even exist, and it was just two men involved in this whole plan, all by themselves, and that was so reassuring for me to hear, knowing that there wasn't a big organisation behind it, and that both men involved had been caught.
When the guilty verdict was finally announced, Chloe felt vindicated.
When my lawyer called me telling me that it was almost 17 years, I felt so happy that finally the day has come where everyone is going to stop doubting me, because I always knew that this would happen and that he'd be given a long sentence.
Lucas Herber was found guilty of kidnapping and extortion. A fantasist obsessed with Chloe, he had invented the Black Death Group.
Lucas took away my freedom for 6 days and completely brainwashed me into thinking that I would die if I didn't follow what he'd wanted me to do, and now his freedom's been taken away for 17 years, so I finally feel happy about that.